Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Aletheia Church. Aletheia exists to make disciples who bring the truth, grace, and changing power of the gospel for the glory of God and the good of all people. To find out more or to connect with Aletheia Church, visit aletheia.org.
Hi, I'm Donnie, and I'm so excited to study the scriptures with you today as we meet together online. You know, Sarah said at the beginning of the service that today marks 10 years of Aletheia, 10 years since Aletheia first launched at our first location in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Now, we've grown to expand to have another location, another great congregation in Providence, and now even online as we meet together here today. And I just want to say that as we enter this moment of studying God's scripture, I'm just so thankful that for years, as we've spent time in His Word and grown as a people, both as individuals and as a people, I'm so excited to see what God has done in our cities. And we continue to be expectant for what He wants to do in the future. So even though we can't celebrate like we really want to, and even though we're kind of pushing that idea off until a date yet to be decided, we're just thankful that God has chosen to use imperfect men and women like me and like you to do something significant in the earth. And so let's continue to pray and expect for His move of grace to expand in our region. You know, as we study the scriptures, something that's going to be coming out this week for you all to participate in is a Bible reading plan. Now, it's going to be tethered to our sermon series called Then and Now People starting next week. But this Bible reading plan is something that I'm really excited about, because preaching on Sundays is honestly just the tip of the iceberg. This is not the whole of Christian life. You showing up to this event is just kind of dipping your toes in the water for what God wants to speak to you and how He wants to grow you and use you in all that He has for you. And one of the best ways to grow in your understanding of God and to understand how your life should be shaped by Him and His story is to spend some time in that story. And so we've got a very basic Bible reading plan that's going to be taking place for about 60 days. And if you'd like more information about that, just hop on back over to your connection card if you didn't do it when you filled it out earlier. Just let us know, and we'll send you emails to keep you on track with that very basic Bible reading plan. If this is a new discipline for you, I highly encourage it. But that being said, let's dive into the scriptures as we end our sermon series called Awesome God. You can turn with me to Genesis chapter 35. We're going to read together, and then I'll pray, and we'll spend some time talking about the significance of this passage and what God reveals to us about Himself. Read with me in verse 9 of chapter 35. It says this: God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name." So he called his name Israel, and God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall come from you, and kings shall come from your own body. The land that I gave to Abraham and Isaac, I will give to you, and I will give the land to your offspring after you." Then God went up from him in the place where he had spoken with him. And Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he had spoken with him, a pillar of stone. He poured out a drink offering on it and poured oil on it. So Jacob called the name of the place where God had spoken with him, Bethel. God, help us as we study your word today. Be pleased to meet with us in our brief time together. Amen. I want to start by asking a simple question. What's your name? Points to you if you answered out loud to your screen, but what is your name? And do you know what your name means? Maybe your parents told you what your name means. Maybe your parents really thought about that before naming you. Maybe they just liked the name and the way that it rolled off the tongue. Maybe you don't know the meaning. My wife and I spent quite a bit of time discussing not just how a name sounded and if it went well with our last name when we named our children, but if, in fact, we felt from the Lord that that was what we should call them or why we should call them the name that they were given. And that's in no way prescriptive for the rest of you. And my parents named me my name primarily because it's a family name. My first name literally means ruler of the world. And my middle name means a great warrior. And my last name is Fisher, so it just kind of means Fisher. But the first two names, my job doesn't really look like that right now. I would not consider myself the ruler of the world. But when we see in scriptures and we look at the names of people, when we see the meanings behind it, it carries a little bit more weight than it necessarily does usually here in America in the 21st century. Names are super important, because names were attached to meaning. Names were attached to like purpose and calling. And not just that, many times names are prescriptive for the life that a person was about to live. Jacob's name was not a great name. In fact, it really pointed to one who is sneaky or a deceiver. We'll talk about that more in a minute. But God comes and he changes his name to Israel. And in so doing, changes everything about him. You see, Jacob's life was not a great life. There was a trail of pain and dysfunction and just nastiness in his wake. But God Almighty, remember, God Almighty shows up, and in so doing, he transforms Jacob's struggle into purpose. So we're going to look at how God does that, not just for Jacob, but I would argue for all of us today. So who is Jacob? You know, I mentioned a Bible reading plan in the beginning of our service, and for those of you who have already started a Bible reading plan for this year, you know that he's someone who's mentioned in the book of Genesis. If you're on track to read your Bible this year, you probably made it past this story, because his account happens pretty early on. So Jacob is the son of a man named Isaac. He's also the grandson of a man named Abraham. Abraham, obviously super important to the Christian faith, as well as to some other faiths. But Jacob finds himself the younger of a set of twins who is born to a family. Now, it's kind of a weird scenario, because not only he's the younger of the set of twins, his parents have favorites. He's his mom's favorite, and his older brother Esau is his dad's favorite. And his older brother, by custom and by law, is the one who should inherit everything from his father. But God has made some promises that this would not be so in their family. And yet, Isaac, Jacob's father, had decided to go ahead and go about giving his blessing and passing everything on he had to his oldest of these twin boys, Esau. Jacob is, as his name would imply, is a crafty individual. With the help of his mom, he goes about actually subverting that plan. And when his father's old in age and blind and can't see, he pretends to be his brother to receive the blessing of his father. He even steals the birthright from his brother in some other ways. It's just very sneaky and interesting if you're going to read about it. But just to say, he's a deceptive little punk. Let's just call him that. And Jacob actually gets the blessing reserved for his older brother by sneaking into his father's tent and pretending to be his older brother when his father is elderly in age and blind and can't tell the difference between his sons. Tragedy ensues. Esau, as you can imagine, walks in, finds out Isaac, their father, basically says, I've already given him a blessing, I can't change it now. Sorry, boy, sucks to be you, kind of response. As you can imagine, Esau is in a murderous rage, and Jacob's parents, both of them, counsel him to leave and to go find a woman to marry in a far-off land. And so he does this, but even when he leaves the dysfunction of his family, he finds himself in the middle of a whole bunch of more dysfunction, where he's promised wages and he's promised hands in marriage, and these things don't come about, and he ends up working way more than he should, getting paid less, way less than he should, not receiving the promises that he was given from his dirty, rotten uncle Laban. And when we find Jacob, we find him returning from that land of Padan Aram. That's where his uncle was. But why is this important for us to kind of hash this out? It's important because Jacob is part of a story. He's part of, well, the story that's given to us in Genesis. He's part of God's redemptive story to bring about the recreation of the whole world, where God has put his favor and his grace on humanity, but it weaves through these stories in the book of Genesis, and it comes down through the generations and lands, oddly enough, upon Jacob, the one who's called the deceiver. He is actually part of God's story. He is part of God's promise to increase his people in number in such a way that they will ultimately bring about the redemption and the blessing of the whole world. He's Abraham's grandson. And I find it really interesting because Jacob lived in this, find himself in this dual nature, this dual existence, where he was both promised to carry this blessing to the earth, but also everything he did seemed to work against him. This dual nature within him, that God actually shows up to his mother, Rachel, while he's still in the womb, and says, "Hey, Rachel, guess what? You're not just pregnant with one child, you're pregnant with two." And they represent two future nations, and they're already at war with one another. But let me tell you, the older shall serve the younger. And so from the beginning, before he's even born, we see this nature of God's blessing going to be given to Jacob. But then he comes out, and it said from the beginning, he's seen as one who's like a heel grabber. He's one who wants to supplant those who are over him. He is a deceiver. He's a man who's both blessed by God to do some really amazing things and have major impact with lasting legacy in the earth. But he's also chasing after that promise through just terrible means of manipulation and lying and deception. And I would argue, when you see his pattern, it's almost as if he's deceiving himself in the process, convincing himself and believing at times that every situation that he is in is not really his fault, but those around him. He's a man who's made such a mess of his life that he just looks for a reset repeatedly. Constantly striving to find some place new to make that happen. But you know, and this is my like my commentary here. Do you know what I think his biggest problem was? It's because everywhere he went, his problem was there, because he was in fact the problem. He was both the one who was supposed to receive the blessing, but also the one who was the deceiver to carry everything with him. Now, I don't know if you can relate to that. I have a hunch that no matter who you are, you can relate to that on some level. I can relate to that at times, where I look up and I realize that similar situation after similar situation after similar situation, I find myself in the same predicament over and over and over again. Maybe you are like me. Maybe you've been in job after job after job. You've had multiple jobs, and constantly you find yourself running against the same problems or the same dysfunction. Maybe you've been in romantic relationship after romantic relationship after romantic relationship. They all end the same and badly because of the same exact reasons. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's just straight up friendships that don't work out. And they always come to the same kind of ending for you. And we find ourselves in these circumstances. It's really tempting to blame our circumstances, the circumstances in which we find ourselves. Or maybe it's the people that surround us. But might I suggest that if all of our problems, they're all circling around the same drain, whether they're relational, let's say educational, vocational, spiritual, whatever the case may be, maybe if our problems are constantly following us, we might be a big part of that problem. Jacob found himself again running from his problems. In fact, that was his response. He constantly ran from his problems. But we see in his story, and in the story of Genesis, and I think in the story of humanity, that God pursued him anyway. Again, Jacob having this dual nature of this calling to greatness. But man, he was a rascal. He was not a good dude most of his life. He goes and he runs and he works again for his uncle Laban, trying to get for himself a wife, trying to get for himself some kind of life and provision. You know, each and every one of us has hopes. Each and every one of us has dreams. Each and every one of us also carries something else in common. It's the inability to actually grab hold of God's purpose in our own strength. We can't do that on our own. Jacob worked really hard. He cut every corner. At times he tried to do it right, but he couldn't reach what God had for him. We see that in Jacob's life, that no matter how hard he tried, no matter how what he tried to do, relational dysfunction and pain just followed him wherever he went. Everything slowly turned into kind of his own selfish pursuit. Basically, as a result of the deception that he creates in the process, his life becomes a mess. But God steps into Jacob's mess. God stepped into Jacob's mess, and he calls him. He reminds him of who he is, of that greater promise. And he interacts with him on a very personal and real way and brings about Jacob's redemption. And I find it really interesting, what does God do when Jacob responds to him? He brings him back to the land where it all started. The land of his birthright. The land of the promise. In the land where he began his deception. He brings him back to this place. In fact, Jacob encounters his brother, older brother Esau, on the way in. And Esau does not go to war with his brother, though they both have many forces by this point. He enters peacefully into his homeland. And God begins to bring about a redemption. And it's at this point that we read what we read. God shows up to Jacob. And he says, Jacob, you're no longer a deceiver. You're no longer a supplanter. You're Israel. You're one who's wrestled with God. You're one who God fights for. You're Israel. He redefines him in this moment. And it's a powerful thing. The man of two natures warring with inside of him, both of the promise that he was striving to attain and could never get there, and only brought about pain and just agony of others. God comes in and says, that is no longer you anymore. I'm going to give you what you were striving for. You can never get on your own. God shows up. God Almighty has transformed Jacob's struggle into real purpose. If there's anything I want you to take away from this today, is that the same promise is true for you. It just is. All of us live in this kind of dual reality where we're created in the image of God, called to be, to reign and to rule and to bring about beauty and to be a blessing to others and to make everything around us better. But all of us strive and try to advance ourselves and many times with the hope of actually creating some of that beauty and some of that improvement of our situation and others around us, but in so doing just see wreckage in our wake. To some degree, it just doesn't happen. And let me just encourage you that if there's something that Jacob teaches us about our experience, about people who both are called to do something significant but find ourselves oftentimes unable to do it, there's something that the story of Jacob helps us understand, is first of all that our past does not define us. And for that matter, neither does our present. But God Almighty Himself is the one who defines us. He's the one who helps us become who we're created to be. He's the one who speaks a blessing over us. He's the one who endows us with this purpose, this calling. He pursues us. He pursues you and invites you simply to surrender. Jacob fought with God for years and years and years. And finally, he surrenders and God meets him. And God comes. He said, let me tell you who you are. You're one through whom which everything is going to change. Kings will come from you. The world is going to be blessed. Generations will come for you. I'm going to honor my promise to the generations before. Family, God will honor His promise to you. The invitation is to surrender. That's what it takes to make us new. That's what it took to give Jacob this restart. It takes, first of all, a God who is truly almighty, but then it takes a God who is blessing us through His wisdom and not our ability to figure it out. It takes a God who is blessing us through His presence and not our striving. This is the God we serve. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is God Almighty. And so today, as we end, I want to encourage you that this God, God Almighty, offers to you the same. He offers you the same promise that he did to Jacob. He offers you a new start, not tethered to your past or to your present. In other words, that you, no matter who you are, and me, all of us, we are the kind of people that no matter how jacked up we are, what the wake that is following behind us is, no matter what we've done, we have access to God's presence and to blessing that comes from him. And the way that we interact with this, the way that we start this new relationship, the way that we receive this new definition from our Creator is not to continue to go down the path of pursuing our purpose and what in trying to struggle through life and grind it out and carve a name for ourselves, but rather to let go of those things and to come and receive the blessing of God that is available to us, specifically that is available to us through the work of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus Christ comes as God incarnate into the human story. And he comes and he shares this message of the God's work and of his promise that's given to humanity and of his grace that is freely flowing. And he encourages us and he invites us to repent or to turn from all of that striving and to put our faith, our hope, our trust in this God who speaks us into existence and who gives us purpose and meaning and who invites us into the same thing he was inviting Jacob into. And that's a life that is going to reap dividends, whose legacy and generations that follow behind us would be a world changed and transformed. It's the mission of God. It's what God invites us into when he transforms us. And so for you, that is available today, no matter who you are. Maybe you've encountered this God Almighty before. Maybe this is the first time that you really considered what it means to encounter him. But let me just tell you, and when you encounter the God, the Almighty God of the universe, he transformed all that struggle that you've experienced into purpose. And it is beautiful and redemptive, and it outlives you. His blessing is for more than just you. But it is so good when you receive it. And so today, if that's a new concept or a new idea for you, I want to encourage you to process that a little bit further. Maybe even ask this God to reveal himself to you, to show you where you have been striving and where it's honestly never going to attain the purpose that he has created you for, and to invite him to reveal that to you. Maybe you've already known this God and you've kind of forgotten that outside of him, that purpose will never be attained. Find ourselves in a moment where it's really easy to forget. But God is still here. God Almighty is here, waiting to transform all of that striving that each of us do into real purpose. I want to pray for us as we end. Would you pray with me? God, I pray for my friends who've joined me today as we study this brief passage. God, I pray that they would know you. God, I pray that they'd be freed from the cycle of pain and just striving and reaching for something that is unattainable. Instead, turn and experience your grace, some for the first time today. Lord, for those who've been struggling and maybe even realizing for the first time that they might be part of the problem, Lord, I pray for your grace and your compassionate conviction to be upon them. We speak no condemnation because all of us have done this before. But for all of us, whether new to faith or God walking with you a long time, Lord, hold us into your purposes. Let us never forget who we truly are and how you transformed who we were into the purpose that you've created us to be. By your grace, thank you for this gift. Amen. As we end our service today and we transition to worship, if you need prayer for anything, or if you'd like to talk a little bit more about what it is to follow this God, what it means to follow this God and learn more about Jesus and how he makes all that possible, you can just click the prayer button in the chat one of our volunteers would love to pray with you or talk with you more about that. With that being said, let's worship our God as we end.